Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Stand up for. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings. Gary Wellings.
And good Saturday afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to catch our drift. Joining me in studio, Brandon Drake.
Good to be back. And I have to smile because as I look over at you just before we went on the air, I noticed that not only do you have a cup of coffee that I made, which is so strong it'll take the enamel right off your teeth, but you also have your energy drink over there, so you're well-armed.
A gridlock.
Yes. You're two-fisted. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be a good hour. Lots to cover, if we want to. Maybe let's just hum a few show tunes and be done with it.
We can do that.
Yeah. I got a guy at work, actually, who plays Pandora, and he's got, like, the show tune channel on. Half the time, I'm like, seriously? You're listening to Madam Butterfly back here in the warehouse? What? Yeah, it's crazy, dude. But, hey, it is what it is.
Hey, as Fred Sanford would say, is he a little...
We need the camera for that. Okay, well, before we get started, let's take care of a little business. Our sponsor this half hour will be the Rock Shop on Godfredson Road, 734-455-5560. Marco and Helena Scapatigi run a great little business. It's just off of M14 at Godfredson Road. Just go north, exit 15. And whether it's fountains, statuary, I think they got 50% off on statuary right now. So it's a great place to spend 15, 20 minutes on your way home from work or just on the weekend, because they've got a whole bunch of good stuff for pavers and rock walls and boulders. If you're into doing a little landscaping, it's the place to go. So 734-455-5560, or you can go to their website, www.rock-shop.com, rock-shop.com. Okay. Anything you want to talk about special this week? I'm kind of up in the air. I don't know that I really feel like doing politics today.
What can we really?
Do? Yeah.
I'm just following your lead.
Yeah.
Bring it. Whatever you got.
There's so much that we could do. We got to hit immigration, of course. That's probably hot this week for me. It's like a never-ending scandal. I wrote the July Current will actually be out this week. We're finishing it up tonight and should be delivered midweek, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever. And I've got a hot editorial, blistering editorial, I guess.
Immigration?
A little bit of just scandals in general. I mean, let's be honest. Derek, let's make sure we come back in with that scandalous tune between breaks here, because we had Barack Obama this week.
I like the 80s band Scandal even better.
I don't remember that.
What's
her,
the female voice of that band? What's that one big song? I bring it up now. I can't even remember the name of the song, but it was a really cool tune.
Well, we'll look it up on break.
I am the warrior. Yeah, something that song.
Oh, I know who you're talking
about. Patti Smyth, is that her name?
I think so, yeah. Yes. Yeah, Patti
anyway,
Smyth.
Anyway, sorry. I
you were the 80s.
Digress again. Yeah.
It puts us into that mood because you and I are that age, hanging out at Western. Mm-hmm. Broncos, go Broncos. Yeah. Yeah. Party time, party city. Mm-hmm. What they call it, Western back then. That was the name of the university until they put the kibosh to that. But before we get going, what we do every day on The Drift is go through the stories we put on The Daily Drift, www.thedailydrift.com. And you can participate in that by sending me links. If there's a story that I've missed from the internet, make sure you send me an email at gary@thedailydrift.com, and you can become a contributor to The Daily Drift. The big thing, scandals this week for me. I wrote my editorial in a heat of passion this week, and how can anybody deny Benghazi, VA, IRS, NSA? It's one after another. It's just overwhelming, and it's like this is the first administration in the history of the United States that covers up by adding more cover-ups.
And not only the cover-ups, but as one notices in the mainstream media, mainly, which we always bring up, these different scandals, NSA, for example, you never really hear Obama, his name, linked to that. It's always the NSA is doing this and that. It's never Obama's NSA. If it had been Bush in office, it would be Bush, 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 and almost NSA would be in the background. You would hear his name mentioned even more so than the actual department, whether it's the IRS or whatever the issue might be. That's how the media works. If it's a Republican president, you bash him first or her down the road, you know, if we get a female Republican president someday. But in the past, you bash him, and in this case, Obama especially, it's like he's not even part of the mix. So everybody that hates, even on the left, that hates the NSA type thing, for example, they don't really mention Obama. He's right. Clean. He's Mr. Clean.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. Let's listen to track one, Derek. This is Obama trying to play it off like it's nothing. The Teflon president saying there is no scandal, not a smidgen of corruption. Go ahead, Derek. Play that.
But sometimes the news that's coming off is just, these are just Washington fights. They're fabricated issues. They're phony scandals that are generated. It's all geared towards the next election or ginning up a base. It's not on the level. And that must feel frustrating. And it makes people cynical, and it makes people turned off from the idea of that anything can get done.
And that video, when you look at it, he's wearing the $300 shirt. He looks calm, cool, and collected. He doesn't have a prompter, so you know, I was waiting for something to go awry. And you want to look at him and say, man, I want to believe that guy. I do. I look at him. He's so calm, cool, and collected. I want to believe him. But everything he's done in the last 6 years show that he's a liar. I can't listen to that and not feel sick to my stomach and say, you're a liar. I know why that congressman was it. Joe screamed out, you're a liar.
Right.
You know, you are, sir. Barack Obama, you are a liar. And it's amazing that he can bring that kind of feelings out of me during the course of a week. Every week. I mean, it's nonstop. One after the other after the other. And all they do is cover it up and try to put the smoke and mirrors in there by bringing yet another scandal forward. I mean, does it seem like that to you?
Oh, absolutely. And again, I don't even know why he even said anything, because I think more attention was drawn to him by him addressing it than if he just kept his mouth shut. Because, like, I mean, it's just my opinion. I don't think there's a whole lot of name recognition Obama with these scandals as far as the mainstream press and media goes. You know, guys like us, of course, are bringing it up.
Yeah.
And linking it with him. You know, isn't he supposed to be the buck stops here? Accountable.
The box stops anywhere except at his desk.
And it just...
You know, in that same speech, he praised Nancy Pelosi and said this, which I found just to be outrageous. He praised Nancy Pelosi and said he loved the former House Speaker. I love her because she's smart, she's tough, and she's and she's fearless. The president bragged that he and Pelosi got more done in Congress more than any other Congress since the 1960s, during the first 2 years of his presidency.
Yeah, if he'd said with Nancy Pelosi, we did more damage in Congress since whatever date you want to reference to, then he'd be a little more accurate.
That would be a completely believable statement. Really? That is so... I can't think of any other word than outrage.
Calling her smart undermines his whole statement. It's like calling Joe Biden smart. It's just, it's not done. It's not believable.
Let's take a call from John in Farmington Hills. John, welcome to the show. Did I get him? John, welcome to the show. Yeah. John, call back. We got a bad line or something. Well, there you go. That was Barack Obama doing that to us, too.
Is that the NSA blocking...
That's all right. They'll lose the call, just like they lose the emails, right?
Yeah. I love how, yeah, I can't remember his name, but the one congressman just basically said, I don't believe you, yeah. During this testimony, because, you know, you can in good faith and sincerity say, oh, that's the explanation. Okay.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. That was Paul Ryan, I think, at his best. I wish we would see more of that Paul Ryan, not the Paul Ryan talking amnesty allegedly behind the scenes. But yeah, I'm so tired of hearing anything about comprehensive this or comprehensive that. If there's one thing we have learned in the last 6 years, the federal government, Congress, the Senate, cannot do anything comprehensive. And why would they even try? I mean, you're a busy man, you're a senator, you're a congressman. One step at a time. Take the baby steps. You know, before we talk about immigration, build the wall. Build a fence, build a wall, whatever. That's sure. One thing we should all be able mm-hmm. to agree on. We're going to agree to one thing. We're going to secure the border. After that, we'll talk about it. Because you know what? I think even the most diehard anti-amnesty guys will be willing to at least listen after you've done what Ronald Reagan said he was going to do way back in the day, secure the border, never did. What both Bushes, what Clinton all said, let's secure the border. None of them have. They've all lied about it. You want to talk serious? Shut the border, because as you and I were talking during the break, if you're giving stuff away, people are going to come.
Exactly. If the incentive is there, it's a no-brainer. They're coming.
Yeah. All right, John's back. Let's take this call. John, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Listen, it's exactly what you just said, and I want to put emphasis on this. Obama's IQ, John Kerry said it, are off the charts. He's got people in there that have been in there forever, so they understand what's going on. It's absolutely ludicrously impossible for this not to be known. He's smoothing it over with Bush's Every Child Left Behind, Low Information Voter, a celebrity on all the shows, all of these things. They're pulling the stops out, and the media and Hollywood are trying to make it the norm, and it is. And with the advent of the handheld phone computers, it's like an electronic plague. And this Obama is ramming everything through as fast as he can because people are starting to wake up. And, you know, that's why he put a lot of things off till after the election. But when you guys bring these topics up and then play him talking and then dice it up and talk about it, that's key for the viewers to hear. And we need to get those things to go viral, you know, and that's the key because that's what they do. And if we don't and they make Texas turn red or something like this, like there's no emphasis on the diseases that are here now. Smallpox are here, all kind of things. Nobody's being quarantined. MS-13 are flooding over. What do they know? They know drugs, prostitution, murder, and they're going to mix right in. And the president's letting out all these people. What was it? I don't know how many thousand that he let out already. And they're felons of the highest degree.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, they're flooding the street. With the ones they do catch, they're flooding the streets. The ones that just came over, they're letting them go and saying, you have to show up at court 2 weeks from now. And I think one estimate I saw was 97% of them are not showing up for their hearings. Well, why would you? You're already here.
And they never have. This has been going on for decades. They never show up for their hearings. And like you said, and we talked about before we went on the air, as far as amnesty goes, on the ground reality is it's already been granted.
Yeah. Yeah. John, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
So if they're coming over in droves, and, of course, the media wants to play it up as children, and we talked about this before, too. You guys miss half of our talk as before the show even starts. We need to learn to say that.
It's a brilliant tactic by these people in Mexico and Guatemala and Honduras or whatever Central American country you want to list is to send these kids over. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant tactic on their part.
Yeah, and they call them kids, but as we were talking – the 1,000 that just recently got housed at Lackland Air Force Base. Now, this is one of our military bases. 1,000 people got housed there. Of that, I think it's 80% were male.
Mm-hmm.
83% were 14 to 18 years of age. Okay. Do those sound like children to you?
Yeah, they're not toddlers in most cases crawling across the border, but sending under, you know, 21 or under 18, it's 'cause we're caught flat-footed. Again.
Yeah. And you know, growing up in El Salvador, Honduras, Guatemala, and Mexico, between 14 and 18, you're not a child. You are an adult. You're an old school adult. You've lived the hardest life, the harshest of lives. You probably already have gang experience or gang affiliations. You're probably working with the cartel. And again, I hate to sound like a conspiracy nut, but you know what? I'm not sure on our military base we should have a bunch of 14 to 18-year-old, young, probably fairly physically fit survivalists, because if you crossed 1,800 miles of Mexican territory mm-hmm. without being caught, you're a survivalist. You're not some kid.
and you've either paid off or done some deeds for some probably really scary characters to make it that far, because, you know, we know that the underground criminals are controlling passage
right
for that far. You don't just go that far without having an association with some of these very scary cartel people or what have you.
Yeah, solid.
Derek, or corrupt government officials. Yeah.
Let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue this conversation, and we'll get to our next caller, Steve. Steve, hang tight. We'll see you on the other side.
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current and The Daily Drift. With today's internet environment, it's easy to get information overload. The best way to process this information and cut through the internet chatter is to get your news delivered in a concise and effective manner. Get the news you need to know at thedailydrift.com. Check out The Daily Drift, one of the fastest growing websites around. At The Daily Drift, I find the local, state, national, and international stories you won't get from the mainstream media, and I make it easy for you to link to them. You'll also get original common sense opinions from local writers. You can even get a free subscription that will deliver a link to your email inbox every day for free. You'll also get instant access to all archived podcasts of The Drift Radio Show and links to the best articles, opinions, and websites. Go to www.thedailydrift.com. That's the news you'll need to know at thedailydrift.com.
Mr. Detweiler, we're all finished.
What?
Your knee replacement went great, and it's all because of you.
What did I do?
You were captain of Team Detweiler. You told us everything. Medical history, allergies. You asked us tons of questions.
Huh. I guess I did kind of run the whole operation, didn't I?
We couldn't have done it without you.
Patient safety. It takes a team. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons with more tips at orthoinfo.org/patient safety.
DVDs for Vets is asking listeners to donate new or used DVDs for the benefit of military veterans who otherwise cannot easily obtain them on their own. With limited entertainment, vets in rehab can use what many of us take for granted every day. To donate new or used DVDs or to learn more about this worthy cause, please go to DVDsForVets.org. That's DVDs, the number 4, Vets.org.
I'm Dominique Dawes, and there's a big advantage parents can give their kids: making sure they get active at least 60 minutes each day. Studies show that physical activity not only helps kids stay healthy, it can enhance important skills like concentration and problem solving, which can improve academic performance. Help your kids in the most important game of all, life. Learn more at fitness.gov.
Brought to you by HHS.
Tyrone here, inviting you to join me for the Bone Conduction Music Show. My radio show has a high music IQ, and I know you do too. We're a perfect match, babe, you and me. I want you to join me right here for the finest wig-singing rock, hip-shaking soul music, and industrial strength rhythm and blues. It's the rockin'est show on the radio. It's the Bone Conduction Music Show.
Join Tyrone for the rockin'est show on the radio. It's the Bone Conduction Music Show. Every Sunday night at 7 p.m., right here on Wham! Talk 1600.
Well, there you go.
Scandalous.
Hey, as Steve Mariucci used to say when he was with the Detroit Lions, hey, we're building something good here.
We're building something, all right. We're talking immigration right now. Let's take a call from Steve, who's been waiting patiently. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks, guys. So, yeah, there's an article at thenewamerican.com, and the headline reads, quote, "After America comes North America." And that's from General David Petraeus, speaking at the Margaret Thatcher Conference on Liberty last week in London. Anyways, so you were saying how since Reagan they've been talking about, you know, closing the border, securing the border, but you know, the reason that has never happened is because, you know, people behind the scenes and more permanent than a president have been pushing for and implementing globalization and a North American union where America is going to basically act as the pressure release valve for the third world, you know, citizens of Mexico to come into. So we're not going to see the border closed unless our next president, if he's Republican, specifically says that NAFTA is what's driving this and he's going to repeal it, then it'll keep going.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, Steve, what do you think it's going to take, you know, whether it's repealing NAFTA, if that's even possible, through Congress? Because, of course, the president doesn't have dictatorial powers to make very decisive moves like that. Do you think it's almost going to take, in theory, a dictatorial president that suspends some of the, you know, checks and balances to get something done as far as securing our border, which is so important to our national security? Is that what it's going to take?
well, I always thought it would be great if, you know, I was a big Ron Paul supporter, and I always thought it would have been great if he came in and turned the whole NDAA around on everyone and did claim dictatorial powers to undo all the unconstitutional things that have been done, and then after that emergency, then put everything back to normal. But no, it's going to require, you know, congressmen and senators that are courageous enough to actually address what is really behind the erosion of American sovereignty, which is, you know, I don't want to sound like an Occupy Wall Street guy, but it's transnational corporations pushing for uniform laws across the globe that supersede national laws.
Yeah. You know what seems funny, Steve, is while we're seeing this globalization and this opening up here in our country, in Europe and other parts of the world, they're getting more nationalistic. You know, they're getting down to smaller bits. That's what I think you're seeing in Iraq. People want, like-minded people want to live together. So Iraq may end up being three parts instead of one. You know,
You know what? I didn't just have this thought, but I'm just thinking about it again to say it. But I've always believed this since 9/11, and when I said years ago at this radio station that, mark my words, decade after 9/11 and beyond, we'll still be talking about securing the border, and it won't be secured, is that it's almost going to take, in my mind, God forbid, it's going to take another 9/11 type attack that can be traced directly from an individual or a group that came across that unsecured border. Then the American people might wake up enough to put people in place and will be unified in thought and action to actually secure that border. But I think it's going to take another tragedy, a loss of human life, an economic debacle from an attack that originated across that border.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, guys. I got to go back to work.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the call, Steve. Appreciate
okay.
it. Let's take a call from Jim before we hit the hard break. Jim, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you. I just wanted to comment on, I've been listening, and then I wasn't listening for a few minutes, but when I came back, you're talking about what it's going to take to kind of fix some of these things. And I've been a Republican since I was voting age. But I'm at the point where I don't believe anymore in the left-right paradigm. I think the Republicans and the Democrats are all the same. And what I think it's going to take is to bite the bullet and start voting for a different party. I'm not going to vote Republican anymore. I'm not going to hold my nose and vote for a Mitt Romney or a John McCain.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to do it.
That's a huge question, Jim, and we're going to address that, because I wanted to get to that anyways, but yeah, we'll get to that later in the hour, so feel free to call back and weigh in again after the hard break. But yeah, I think you're right.
We've addressed that many times on this show, and it always comes down to, do you get your butt kicked for the next 5, 10, 20 years voting for a third party, because of voting for a third party is equivalent to voting for the Democrats, do you just keep voting for the Republicans and holding your nose?
Yeah. Well, we'll continue this conversation after the break. See you on the other side.
Are always always on the move, driving to work, getting the groceries, hauling the kids to soccer. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600, just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham for intelligent conversation with hosts like Bill Bennett, Glenn Beck, and Theron X. They stay tuned in for Fox updates, and they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. The U.S. Attorney's Office says that Benghazi attack suspect Ahmed Abu Qatala faces an initial court appearance this afternoon in a D.C. federal courthouse.
Charges against them will be read to him today. He will be assigned a court lawyer.
Fox's Jennifer Griffin outside the courthouse.
Qatala had been held and questioned by the CIA and U.S. military intelligence interrogators on board the USS New York since his capture by U.S. Army Delta Force operators at his villa south of Benghazi on June 15th.
Online streaming service Arrow temporarily closing down its operation 3 days after the high court handed down an unfavorable ruling, and a 60-year-old California woman facing child cruelty charges after police say she sprayed her 7-year-old neighbor in the face with a poisonous pesticide. Police say the child is expected to make a full recovery. Fox News, we report, you decide.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
Family Life Services Clinic and Pregnancy Center, 2950 Packard Road in Ypsilanti, is in need of diapers at the center to give to clients who cannot afford them. To learn more about the Family Life Services Clinic and Pregnancy Center, including drop-off hours for diapers, call 734-434-3088 or visit women-helping-women.net. Wigs for Kids provides custom fit, age-appropriate wigs at no cost to Michigan children who are experiencing hair loss as a result of cancer treatment and other medical conditions. To learn more about how your contribution can make a difference in the life of a Michigan child, please call Wigs for Kids at 586-772-6656 or visit www.wigsforkids.org. That's wigs, the number 4, kids.org. The Alzheimer's Association has launched 2 free resources for families impacted by Alzheimer's disease. The Alzheimer's Association's Alzheimer's Navigator is an online tool to help caregivers and people with dementia evaluate their needs, identify action steps, and connect with local programs and services. The other free resource, ALZ Connected, is powered by the Alzheimer's Association and is the first social networking community designed for people living with Alzheimer's and their caregivers. For more information on Alzheimer's disease or available resources, visit alz.org or call 800-272-3900.
You've been listening to the Wham Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. Wham Talk 1600. In touch with your community.
Dan, welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. In studio with me, Brandon Drake.
Hey, good to be here.
Derek Stone, producing. Thank you, Derek.
Sure thing.
So we were talking immigration, and I want to talk a little bit, well, talking scandals, among them immigration. Charles Krauthammer had a great audio video this week talking about Obama and his scandals. And I want to play that, Derek, before we move on to other things, because I know otherwise we'll miss it. And that's track 3. Let's start with the SCOTUS ruling. Supreme Court overruled the appointments, the recess appointments that Obama dictated that they were on recess and they were not.
The what ruling?
SCOTUS.
Oh, okay.
All right, let's listen to that first track from Charles Krauthammer.
It's a major rebuke. I mean, this is when you're nine... And when there's nine and there's nobody on the other side, including the two justices you appointed, when the opinion is written by a leading liberal and in which it shows really contempt for what the president did, he obviously trampled on the constitutional powers. And the way it was written, the Breyer decision was a president is allowed to make a recess appointment if the Senate is in recess. And Breyer writes, the Senate is in session as it is in session, which means the Senate is in recess when it says it is in recess. The Senate said it wasn't in recess, and it was not. And the president presumed to tell the Senate that it was in recess. He makes the appointments, and he got really smacked down. This is a major a statement to the president. Watch how you're walking over outside of the boundaries of what you can do. And the reason it's important, if it was a standalone decision, it wouldn't be important. The reason it's important is precisely because of what you said. Boehner is challenging the president on all the other instances in which the president has gone way over the line. The non-enforcement of immigration laws, the non-enforcement of drug laws, the post-facto changes, 38 of them, to the Affordable Care Act.
Which and the exemptions it gives some but not others?
This is arbitrary government at a very high level and at a tremendous level of arrogance. And I think that this may be a signal that the Boehner lawsuit, if they get standing before the court, might succeed and Obama might lose.
Okay. So I didn't see a whole lot of this in the mainstream media. It was kind of a dust over. I mean, they hit it, but they didn't hit it very hard like a lot of talk radio is. He said he could make appointments when the Senate was, they weren't in recess, but he said they were in recess. And it didn't get a lot of play then. This Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, this will affect decisions made by them. It is a huge item. And he is literally pushing the envelope on executive power. Does Boehner have the guts to carry through this threat of taking him to court on other executive actions? What do you think?
I don't know, but it will be interesting to see how it all plays out, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it's not just a bluff and a threat from Boehner. I mean, you have to at some point draw the line, because I don't want the next Republican president doing this either. I don't trust them either.
Well, I like it because this is just off the top of my head, is that going through the judicial system, the court path, instead of impeachment, because we know that impeachment in the House, if it did happen, having a trial in the Senate is going to go nowhere, just like with Bill Clinton.
Right.
I mean, he was impeached, but then it was kind of thrown out right away by the Senate. So Boehner's tactic, if you will, going through the courts instead of trying to go through the House and then the Senate is interesting.
Right. I mean, I'm like anybody else. I believe this president should be impeached, but in the real world, as long as the Senate has the makeup that it currently has, you're wasting your time.
Sure. It would be symbolic only.
It would be just symbolic like only. You might get it past the House. It's going nowhere in the
right.
Senate.
And then Bill Clinton was impeached, but he still looked at as the greatest president
yes.
in modern times ever by so many people. It's like, he was impeached. You know, you bring that up. Doesn't that count for something?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Well,
It almost makes him more of a hero to the left.
Yeah, I always get Democrats who say, we need to go back. Look what Bill Clinton did with... Well,
with Monica Lewinsky.
I said it last week when we had Reverend Sheffield on, saying, Bill Clinton, the economy was great. Look what we did. We balanced the budget. Yeah, him and Newt Gingrich together worked in a compromise,
right.
And it got done. It wasn't anything to do with Bill Clinton, because if he'd had his way, he'd have kept spending.
Yeah, and the stock market that everybody also refers to in their love affair with Bill Clinton, it peaked out 9 months before he left office.
Yeah, and wasn't
that bubble burst 9 months before he left office.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I was going to say. It was the bubble anyways. I mean, it was built on lies. Let's be honest. And I think business in the United States looks at our leaders in government, and if the leaders are lying and untrustworthy, why should business be any different?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it starts at the top. If you're going to be unethical in government,
oh sure,
the
yeah.
businesses are going to turn around and say, well, I don't have to be ethical. The government in it, why should I?
No, you're absolutely right. The commander-in-chief, the president, they're supposed to really be the buck stops here with enforcing the laws and everything else that goes with that position. And if you can lie under oath and create, you know, have a commit a felony like that, and then have this little wiggle room in Clinton-esque speak about why it's justified, then you're right. It sets a whole corrupt mindset into everybody from the CEO of a major company to a little kid in third grade.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay to lie, teacher. Bill Clinton did, and he did, and what's the definition of is?
Yeah. And it,
talk
and if,
like
and
that.
If Clinton had that effect, if he had that effect on the United States then, and we're talking about lying about Monica Lewinsky and maybe the Whitewater affair or whatever.
Yeah, they're endless.
What is our U.S. business and our U.S. society going to look at now when they can see that Barack Obama and his administration can lie about everything? Right, scandal after scandal.
Yeah.
You want to talk about a moral decline in society? Holy cow, wait till our children...
Yeah, good point.
Start looking at life and making business decisions and reaching those points where they are the deciders in our society. Are they going to be immoral, unethical? I think we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg.
Well, I think we are, because look who our next president might be, Hillary Clinton. And we've you know, touched on that a lot. I was in the bookstore the other day, and I felt a wave of nausea go through me when I was at Barnes & Noble, and I see this huge table with books, and her latest book stacked up, and I went over and grabbed one of them and flipped through it. And I couldn't bring myself to even read more than one page before I felt nauseous.
Did you get any blisters on your hands when you picked it up?
I wish I would have. It would have been a good learning experience to never touch that book again.
The good news is, and I take this as a positive sign, the book is not selling very well. The publisher is crying because they're not going to make their initial, what do they call it when they get a forwarded amount of money up front? Whatever. Yeah, they're not getting, they gave her too much money up front, and they're not going to get their payback because the book is
the advance.
The advance, yes. Well, see, one of us is, we put us together.
It comes around eventually.
We have one brain if we put two of us together. There you go. Yeah, I think that's a good sign that maybe, just maybe, there's the smallest chance that people will say, you know what, I've had enough of the Clintons. Mm-hmm. And to be fair, I'm hoping the American people, and at least the conservatives, are smart enough to say, you know what, let's put the kibosh on Jeb Bush right away, because I don't want another Bush either.
Right.
And I'm not knocking George Bush or anything, but I don't want another one.
You're done with that routine.
I'm done.
Yeah.
We need some fresh ideas. We need some fresh people. Get it in there. You know, we talk about term limits all the time, and my favorite saying is, I don't really want term limits, because the good ones, you're throwing the baby out with the bathwater. But I don't think people should be allowed to run consecutively. I would like to see every senator, every congressman, and the president, you go home after your term in office, and you live under the same rules.
Or maybe
rules.
A couple of terms.
Yeah, or change the length of the term, maybe.
Yeah.
I think 2 years is too short for a congressman.
Yeah, because 1 year of that is campaigning.
Yeah, and I think 6 years is too long for a senator. You know, but you hit it exactly. I don't want to pay for you to be campaigning. I'm paying you. I elected you. You do your job for 2, 4, 6 years, and you do it fully. Don't make your decisions based on campaigning. Don't be spending my taxpaying dollars running around the country trying to get reelected. You do your job, then you come home and live under the rules that you made the rest of us live by, see how it feels. And then maybe the decision making in Washington will become a little different. You know, you do have good people who good experience. Go home for 2 years or 4 years, live under those rules, come back and try it again. At least then you're not living off the taxpayer dollar, you know?
There's definitely a certain logic in that. You know, I mentioned Hillary Clinton's book, and I have to say this, even though it's going to sound really, really mean. I look at her picture on the cover, and of course they have it so airbrushed and everything else, but I look at her picture, and I can't help but think, and it just dawned on me, because when I saw it, I thought, what does she remind me of? And now it just hit me, the female version, if there was one, of the Joker. She does.
No.
She's got that look.
I'm going to have to pull that. Let's take a break, and I'm going to pull up the copy of that book on the internet during the break. All right, we'll see you on the other side. We'll be right back.
listeners. I'm Edwin Hoffman, host of Speaking of Art. Join me Saturdays at 3 p.m. We'll circumnavigate the world of art with lively interviews with renowned artists, collectors, dealers, museum directors and curators, writers, actors, musicians, and philanthropists. Close to home or far afield, we'll visit museums, galleries, and historic sites. We'll explore the lives of famous artists and their times, discuss current trends in art, architecture, design, and antiques collecting, as well as ways to grow and protect a collection. But the main component is you and what you can take from the show to enhance the creativity of your life. Speaking of Art is one of the great conversations in your week, lively and full of relevance. So nestle into an overstuffed chair and join our room full of connoisseurs every Saturday at 3 on Wham! Talk 1600. Speaking of art, it's about civilization, yours.
Hi, this is Jennifer Coolidge. The American Heart Association says the disco song Stayin' Alive is the near-perfect beat for hands-only CPR. If you see a teen or adult collapse from cardiac arrest, you only need two steps to help save a life. Call 911 and push hard and fast in the center of the chest to the beat of the song Stayin' Alive. Disco is back and it's saving lives. To learn more, go to heart.org/hands-only-CPR.
Nationally supported by the WellPoint Foundation.
My kids and I need to make every penny count. We can't afford to promote partisan politics like my union was doing with my union dues. And they said I had to pay the dues or lose my job. Fortunately, the U.S. Supreme Court has said that no American worker can be compelled to support a union's political activities with forced union dues. The National Right to Work Foundation gave me free legal aid so I could get my money back. They can help you, too. Call 800-336-3600 or visit nrtw.org.
Think carrying 10 or 20 pounds of extra weight isn't much? We went to a park, handed 10 and 20 pound sandbags to people age 45 to 60, and asked if we could follow them around.
10 pounds makes a big difference.
It's a lot of extra weight to carry around.
No wonder my back hurts.
A few extra pounds each year can cause joint pain and lead to serious chronic diseases like diabetes and heart disease. Wouldn't you like to drop that weight and stop picking up more? Visit hhs.gov/onepoundatatime to find out how. Obesity happens 1 pound at a time. So does preventing it. Brought to you by HHS and NIH.
This is Alex Jones coming to you from the front lines of the InfoWars battlefield. I hope you will join me in supporting Dr. Dave Janda by listening to Operation Freedom every Sunday from 3 to 5 p.m. on Wham! Talk 1600. Dave's show is about your financial, economic, political, and healthcare freedom. He dissects the global elite scum and educates you on how to win the InfoWar. Tune in every Sunday from 3 to 5 p.m. for Dr. Dave's Operation Freedom.
You're catching the drift. Gary Wellings and the Drift. On Wham! Talk 1600. Call 734-822-1600 to join in the discussion.
And welcome back to the Drift. If you don't feel like going on the air with us, you can always email me, gary@thedailydrift.com. Send your comments, and I can read them on the air if you're a little shy. Derek, I wanted to talk a little bit about that Charles Krauthammer. There was another part there that I wanted to I think people need to hear this. It's track four there, and then we'll continue.
No one can read this decision and not know that there was a major abuse of power. But I don't think he cares. He's in his second term. He's not running again. They will never impeach him. He has nothing he's going to lose. He has an ideological agenda that he wants to enact. He got half of it with health care. The rest of it he wants the EPA and energy and carbon regulation. There's stuff he wants, and he truly believes that if the Congress won't cooperate with him, it's being kind of un-American, and he is the one who's acting in the national interest. So even if he has to abuse the Constitution here or there, what he's doing is so good for the country, he's sort of obligated to do it.
Yeah, and that's kind of what Steve was talking about. You know, can we undo by being, you abuse the Constitution a little bit, and then try to fix things. That scares me to no end.
Yeah, I mean, once you get away with so much, trying to undo is sometimes almost more difficult.
Right. And I worry, and it doesn't matter if it's a GOP president next time around or Hillary, as we don't think there can be any other Democrat. I mean, let's face it, she's going to run. There's nobody stepping forward.
Yeah, I read an article just recently that it is definitely hers for the taking as far as the nomination in the Democratic Party.
Yeah, who
There's
else?
Nobody else with name recognition like she has. Nobody has the structure. Nobody has the funding. She'll roll right into that. Unless, well, you know what? She can make as many gaffes as she wants. She always seems to get away with it. So even, you know, she makes a fool out of herself more than she already has once the campaigning starts, it won't matter.
Well, maybe you get Jeb Bush to run as a Democrat. I'm just saying. Okay. Now, there was someone you wanted to bring up.
Well, I brought this gentleman up on the American Dream last Saturday, so I won't get too deep into it. But I, since we're talking about candidates for president, I am definitely feeling the need, especially over the past decade, but in general, always, but especially over the past decade, we need a warrior, a conservative and a warrior and a smart person in that office, in the Oval Office. And a gentleman by the name of Ryan Zinke, former state senator from Montana, is now running for the U.S. House of Representatives from Montana, former SEAL Team 6 commander.
Ooh.
Was a SEAL for 23 years, did two stints in SEAL Team 6. He has two master's degrees. He played college football at the University of Oregon, was a four-year letterman. So he's run businesses. He was a SEAL for 23 years. This guy has been on – he's won two Bronze Stars. He ran direct raid missions, if you will, out of the Persian Gulf. He was responsible for the Naval Special Warfare School. The guy has held all kinds of positions of responsibility. He doesn't have a lot of experience in national politics right now, but this is a guy that I'm hoping down the road – will make a run for the presidency just based on the fact that anybody that can become a SEAL Team 6 member or especially a commander, that's a person with some willpower, some character, some focus that's going to get things done, hopefully.
Character, absolutely. And I'm with you. I would love to see guys with military experience running more for office. I think when we get a lot of these guys who run for office and they don't have military experience – I don't know that they have the character. I don't know that they have the love for country, the self-sacrifice that it takes. Because you should be willing to sacrifice as much as the guy in the field, in the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, and Marines. If you're not willing to make that sacrifice as an elected official, you ought not be running.
And you talk about the scale of – you know, you talk about sacrifice, the scale of sacrifice. You know, you have a lot of different elite – forces, but everybody I think knows that the SEALs are the most elite of special forces that are out there, and special operation forces, I should say, because special forces are, you know, normally associated with the mm-hmm. Green Berets and the Army. But when you go from being a SEAL, which is an incredible accomplishment and sacrifice and dedication to your country, but then you go into SEAL Team 6, that's like night and day. SEAL Team 6 is like night and day from just the SEALs.
Yeah.
That's a whole new ball game there. That's like playing peewee football versus a Hall of Famer in the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah. When you look at most of our congressmen today, or senators, or any bureaucrat in the administration, sacrifice for them is having to fly coach instead of first class.
Yeah.
Are you serious? You need to be able to put yourselves in the line. I don't think they do. Yeah. If you have American taxpayers at heart and our military members at heart, you should be acting a whole lot differently than they do. And that includes Barack Hussein Obama, who is not sacrificing by any stretch of the imagination.
Oh, no. This has been a luxury. I mean, look at the, like you said, the $300 shirt and the golfing and the paradise.
Yeah, the vacationer in chief.
Yeah, exactly. And again, going back to Zinke, you know, am I a little starstruck that a former SEAL Team 6 commander is entering national politics? You bet I am.
Right.
I'm not embarrassed to say that. Is he just a SEAL Team 6 guy? No, he's done a lot of other things. His resume looks like an overachieving resume that maybe five or six people would have to accomplish, and even then it would be mind-blowing. So the one guy could do all this. If you go to RyanZinke.com, it lists it out pretty well. And the guy's, if you see the video on him, he seems like a pretty humble guy, too.
Right.
So we'll see.
Plus, we get a president whose last name starts with Z. Change of pace, right? Let's take a call from Jimmy. Jimmy, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, Jimmy.
I'd like to see a farmer become president of the United States, but that's for another day, I guess. I called to plug the ham radio field day. This is happening all over the United States. Ham radio, amateur radio operators are setting up everywhere. Manchester, we're out here at Domino Farms on Barnyard Lane. If anybody wants to come out and see what we're doing, they're welcome. We have free food. And it's we're setting up and training in case there's some kind of emergency where communications gets knocked out and we're all that's left.
And let me ask you something, Jimmy.
Let me ask you real quick, Jimmy. The free food, you have to go kill it yourself in the field?
No,
skin
my
it up?
Wife made
no?
it at home.
Oh, man.
I brought it. It's on the fire.
Jimmy, so. You bring up a good point, something that always worries me. When we talk about emergencies like that, the big news in the last year or so has been EMP, whether it's an attack from a foreign country or a solar flare that knocks things out. How does ham radio or radio get affected by that? Would you guys be up and running if there was an EMP from solar flares and everything else got knocked out?
Yeah, certainly we would, because you're not always using every radio that you own. As long as you're not online and up and running, those radios would probably survive. And as long as you could find some kind of power source, any power source at all, whether it was solar, a battery that you had no acid in that you were able to get running, and get your antennas up, you could literally send messages and news via shortwave, 6 meter, 10 meter, 20 meter, 2 meter, if you were close, you'd still be able to communicate. And that is a very, very big deal, as you well know, being in the communications business as you are. Just being able to tell people what's going on in your area would be huge.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, I'm glad you guys are doing that, Jimmy. Give us that timing again for the field day. Is that today?
That is today, and we're out here right now at Domino Farms. Anybody that's in the Ann Arbor area that wants to stop by and just take a look, you're welcome. It's right on Barnyard Lane, right by the petting farm. You'll see our vehicles parked here. We have a sign out.
Okay.
And it's our ham radio club, and, you know, we're working stations right now on shortwave and 2 meter.
Hey, Jimmy, to prove...
We're getting 6 meter up, and the 10 meter will be going here shortly.
Hey, Jimmy, to prove that you're at Domino's Farms right now, or is it Domino's or Domino Farm? Domino Farms right now. Why don't you put one of those live bison on the air for us to hear?
Well, there aren't any bison where I'm at, but they have some of those African longhorns right across the way from me. I'm looking at one right now.
Put your phone right up to his mouth. I want to hear it.
All right. Thanks, Jimmy. Appreciate it. All right, well, until next week, the hour went by fast. We'll go to dailydrift.com and stay appraised, and give us a holler next week. See you then.
Take care.